We're joined now by Dr. Scott Kahan. He's director of the National Center for Weight and Wellness, a physician trained in both clinical medicine and public health. Last week in the science section of the New York Times, there was an account from Jane Brody about fat bias, starting early, taking a serious toll on our society. And Dr. Kahan, it's good to talk with you.
Well, good to be here, and thanks for having me.
And for those who'd like to talk with Dr. Kahan about this subject, which is an important one, 877-217-5757. And the story from Jane Brody starts that a very slender friend recently admitted to me that she can't stand to be around fat people. Her reaction is almost visceral. It prompts her to avoid social and professional contact with people who are seriously overweight. She can't pinpoint the source of her feelings, says they go back as far as she can remember. Now, in our society, particularly in the United States, we've got quite an issue with obesity. Is this kind of challenge more evident now than ever before?
Yeah, both the physical problem of obesity is more is more evident than ever before. The rates of obesity have tripled just in the last few decades. But on top of that, the issue of weight bias is much more evident than before. It's one of the most common types of prejudice in our society. It is increasing, whereas most other types of prejudices tend to be decreasing. And we know that it's associated with lots of physical and mental health harm.
How is it manifesting itself now with so many people overweight? There's a lot of bias if people have an aversion to being around people who need to shed a few pounds.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You would think, given that the vast majority of Americans struggle with weight, about 40% of us have formal clinical obesity, and about another 35% fit the category of overweight. So there's far more overweight than there is normal weight in the U.S. And you would think in that scenario that there would be a little bit more compassion and understanding with respect to weight and less weight bias. And that's just unfortunately not what we see. We live in a bit of a thin, obsessed society, and perhaps because of that, the rates of stigma and nastiness and prejudice, specifically with respect to people's weight, has only increased.
You say that obesity has been called the last socially acceptable form of prejudice.
Yeah, and that is, by the way, not my quote. I used that quote from a mentor of mine. His name is Kelly Brownell, who was one of the first researchers in this field. But it certainly rings true. You think of other types of social prejudices, racial, ethnic, gender prejudice. Although those things are still unfortunately far too common, they tend to be decreasing. And most Americans believe that those things are inherently wrong. They go against our core values. When it comes to weight bias, not only is it increasing, but people often don't necessarily explicitly believe that it goes against their core values. In fact, there is this very backwards and unfortunate belief that if we are prejudiced against people who have obesity, that will motivate them to lose weight. And that couldn't be further from the truth. We have lots of data on this, lots of studies showing that when people experience weight bias, it actually decreases their motivation for exercise, for eating healthy, for losing weight, and they tend to gain more weight when they experience weight bias, not less.
Dr. Scott Kahan is with us, director of the National Center for Weight and Wellness, and that's a surprising finding that when people are informed, and like they need to be informed, that they're overweight, it makes them more likely rather than less to have the habits, continue the habits that have caused the weight. So
well, let me jump in there. That's not exactly correct. It's not that when people are informed about their weight. In fact, when a physician or when someone who is genuinely concerned and cares about someone, when they communicate their concern about the person's health or weight or the like, that can be very positive when done in a supportive, appropriate way. What I said was when people experience weight stigma, meaning when they experience from other people unreasoned or irrational judgments, when they are being devalued as a person simply because of their weight, that tends to cause less motivation and ultimately likely leads to more weight gain, unfortunately.
Well, we are getting bigger as a people, and every year it seems the numbers go up. I've looked in 1960, the average American man weighed less than 170 pounds, and now the average female in the United States weighs more than that. So what is happening to our society, and should we address this in a way that perhaps takes away the stigma and gets to the root of the issue?
Yeah, so I think there are two important things there in what you said. The first thing is for us to take steps as a society to address the obesity epidemic. Now, there are many things that play into the rise in obesity rates over the past several decades, but at the core of it is a changing environment. Back in the 1950s and 60s and before that, there was just frankly less food everywhere and less processed food everywhere and less marketing for unhealthy foods everywhere. And it was, you know, our cities weren't so spread out and we hadn't moved out into the suburbs as much, so it was more walkable to go to school, to go to work, etc. And that's all changed in a relatively short period of time. Today, in general, the unhealthiest and highest calorie foods tend to be the cheapest foods and also the largest portioned foods and also the most heavily marketed foods, and they're engineered to be the tastiest foods in many cases, so we tend to be eating much more of the unhealthier foods. And in terms of physical activity, it's pretty difficult for most people nowadays to be able to walk to work, to be able to walk to school, let alone to work in the fields or the like, whereas most of us have desk jobs now. So you take all those things together between our changes in our food environment and changes in our physical activity environment, and that sets the stage for less healthier behaviors that tend to lead to obesity. On top of that, we have genetics that have evolved to live in times of minimal food availability and lots of physical activity necessity. And so you put those two things together, an environment that drives eating more and eating unhealthier combined with moving less, with genetics that has evolved to move a lot and eat relatively little, and that sets the stage for the majority of the increase in obesity that we've seen. Now, the other part of that, as you said, in addition to addressing the obesity itself, is addressing this unfortunate problem of weight stigma. And I think that needs to be done independently of addressing obesity, in part because it's going to take decades to unwind the increases in obesity in our society, as well as worldwide. But we need to address weight stigma much more quickly because it's just plain, frankly, unfair. And it's dangerous for the people who experience the weight stigma, and it's inconsistent with our societal values of inclusion and tolerance and avoidance of discrimination.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Dr. Scott Kahan, the director of the National Center for Weight and Wellness. I have some questions from listeners, and one is regarding our president, Donald Trump, who has pointed out when people are overweight, and of course he's battling somewhat of a weight problem himself, but is this contributing to society as a whole, perhaps following the leader?
Yes, I'm sure it does, and it's not just President Trump. There are many influential, visible people in our society that implicitly or explicitly commit weight stigma, and that is one of the directions that we need to go. We need to better educate and inform policymakers and our community leaders and our national leaders so that they can set more appropriate examples for all the rest of us.
This problem, challenge that we have with our people being heavier and less healthy, does it, and the stigma that is attached to it, does this start in childhood in most cases, Dr. Kahan?
It does. We have shown that weight bias occurs across the age spectrum, and more we're seeing it in kids. As you mentioned, it is one of, if not the most common cause of bullying in kids. And what's interesting also, we did some work a few years ago on this. When you talk to parents about how they support their children around all the different challenges that children have, they say that by far and away they have the most difficulty thinking about how they can help their kids with regard to weight. They say they have even more reluctance to talk to their kids about weight than they do in talking to their kids about sex or about drugs or about cigarette smoking or the like. So on top of the fact that it's so common in kids and so damaging in kids, one of the most valuable resources that kids have, their parents, are uncomfortable talking to the kids and supporting their kids around this issue. So it's sort of a double whammy, if you will, there.
Now, Donna notes that in giving a lot of reasons why we're heavier now than we were a couple of generations ago in this country, you did not mention that fewer people are smoking. Does smoking, and as terrible as it is, does it cause some ability to shed pounds?
Yeah, that may be a consideration as well. Smoking in two ways tends to lower people's weight a little bit. One is that nicotine is a little bit of a appetite suppressant, as many people know. Often patients of mine say that they began smoking trying to lose weight. The other reason that it can be related to weight is that frequently
I think we just lost Dr. Kahan, so let's see if we can get him back, and hopefully we can restore contact with him. He's talking about an important issue that is pervasive in our country, and the United States is now the heaviest country in the civilized world, and a lot of it has to do with the issues that Dr. Kahan talked about, with we're walking less, and we're not exercising as much, and we're eating wrong types of foods, and all this contributes to a problem with obesity in our country. But nonetheless, criticizing or ridiculing people for being overweight is not the answer to the challenge that we have as a society. So it is something the New York Times last week in its pages took on, and it is a significant issue. As Dr. Kahan says, it's going to take a very long time for this process to reverse itself in this great land of ours. 877-217-5757, and we're back with Dr. Kahan. I'm sorry we lost you, but this issue is pervasive and one that we're going to be talking about for a long time. Do we have a bigger challenge in our country than in other countries, Dr. Kahan?
So our obesity problem started a little earlier in our country than the rest of the world, and as such, we're a bit more advanced, if you will, in terms of our obesity rates. But it's quite clear now that the entire rest of the world is catching up. Every single nook and cranny of the world has increasing obesity rates. Even places like sub-Saharan Africa, India, and such, where you would typically think of malnutrition and undernutrition and starvation being the primary issues, we're now seeing more obesity than we are underweight, even in those places. So this is a worldwide problem, a pandemic, if you will, and not just a U.S. problem. Our problem just started a little bit earlier.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. Any final thoughts?
You know, two quick final thoughts. One, I'm so glad you're doing a show on this. It's so important that we begin talking about this in newspapers, on radio stations, and such. And lastly, I'll say, I was in Louisiana just a few weeks ago, and I was talking to the taxi driver on the way to the airport, and we were talking about this specifically. And one thing he said really stuck with me. He said, you know, we have a lot of obesity down here in Louisiana, but we have a lot of acceptance down here in Louisiana as well. People appreciate others regardless of what they look like, regardless of what their size or shape is, and that's really important. There's no benefit in discriminating against people for how they look or for other reasons. It's actually going to be harmful when it comes to weight. And so the fact that in your neck of the woods there is an acceptance for people no matter what size or shape they are, that's a wonderful thing. And so you're starting from a good place there. So I look forward to going back to Louisiana sometime soon.
Well, very good. Dr. Kahan, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us.